Let's take a road trip to a new way to discover the history of Michigan, a new living history park. Michigan's Heritage Park. It's in Whitehall and part of the Lakeshore Museum Center in Muskegon. Wendy Van Workum is the Heritage Park's program manager. Welcome to the program, Wendy.
Hi, thank you.
This is not an exhibit inside a building, right? And it's not pictures or dioramas or statues. What have you got at Heritage Park?
We have a half-mile trail that winds through the forest. And at seven different stops along that trail, we feature a building or construction from a different time period in Michigan's history. So we start with a wigwam village pre-European contact and go all the way through to a 1933 Civilian Conservation Corps tent.
And do you have reenactors there engaging with visitors?
We do. On any given day, we usually have four or more staff members in period dress. And they will talk with visitors about what life during those different time periods was like and what technologies people were using, how they were using the natural resources around them. So it's really a fun experience.
All right. So why don't I have you take us through the stops on the trail. As you mentioned, the Wigwam Village. So that is, as you said, pre-European contact?
Right. So what that means is that you're not going to find any metal in the village. So all the tools are made out of stone or bone or antler or wood. And it is a really, really cool place to visit. The staff members over the course of a summer built three wigwams. So one of them is fully covered with bark. One of them shows the frame because once we furnish the inside with cattail mats, you won't be able to see the frame anymore. And one of them is in process and it'll get finished off this summer.
And it's showing how life within the three fire confederacies, so the Chippewa, Ottawa, and Potawatomi.
That is correct, yes.
Then we move on to the fur trade, 1760. What are we seeing there?
Our fur trade post shows one of the wintering over posts that the fur traders would use, and they would trade all winter long to gather up furs. So it's a really small, quite crudely built building. A lot of people come in and it's very dark inside. So it's very different than what we're used to in the modern era.
Is there any activity that you might pull visitors into?
Oh, yes, definitely. We've actually had students trade with us. So we'll leave some furs outside and they can come in and try to make a trade and we'll explain the values of the furs and the values of the items that the Native Americans were trading for. They can't take the items home, but they certainly have a lot of fun trading with us while they're there.
And then we move up a few decades to 1830 to the settler's cabin. Tell us about that.
The settler's cabin is great. It's a great building that shows how the first settlers lived. And it kind of shows all of life. And so we do things in there. Today we're baking a cake. Other days we do spinning and wool processing, so how they would make their clothing. We've also had visitors out watering and weeding our garden for us and explaining how important that was for a food source. And just various jobs, maintenance jobs, like oiling tin dishes and things to keep them in good condition.
And the fact, moving to the Civil War, that Michigan sent 90,000 troops into the Civil War, and you've got a camp. And I find that interesting, too, and important to show a camp because, am I right, didn't more Michigan soldiers die of disease and from battlefield wounds?
Yes, they did. And that's true of the Civil War soldiers in general across the gambit of the states that they were coming from. And what really makes our camp unique is at most reenactments that you go to, you see a summer-style camp where they're staying in tents. And ours show how the soldiers would live in the wintertime, where it's almost like they built kind of log cabin bottoms and then pitched their tents over the top of it. It's very different than what you're likely to see at, you know, a Civil War encampment or reenactment.
And getting a sense of where that disease came from, because a lot of those camps were pretty dirty, weren't they?
They were. They didn't have very good sanitation, especially at the beginning of the war. By the end, there was an organization called the U.S. Sanitation Commission that was trying to help prevent some of those diseases by encouraging better sanitation in the camps. All these guys from all over living in close proximity, some of them had been exposed to different diseases than others, and it just created an atmosphere where diseases could travel really quickly.
And then you dig into Michigan's logging history with a logging shanty?
Yes, especially in the White Lake, Muskegon area, there were a number of sawmills on White Lake and on Muskegon Lake, and the museum has a long history of talking about logging, especially because we have the Hackley and Hume homes as well. So our logging shanty kind of shows the work side of that logging industry, so where the guys would sleep, and we have some tools out there for people to use, so if they want to try their hand at a crosscut saw or a log marking hammer, they can do that. Some kids have had a lot of fun with that.
Now, you have a farmhouse, and I'm interested, Wendy, what's the significance of showing us a Michigan farmhouse from 1900?
1900 is kind of the time where farming is really starting to pick up, but before it becomes very mechanized. So it's just a very interesting snapshot in Michigan's history, kind of on that cusp of a bunch of really big technological advances in the farming industry.
And then we go into the Depression, and you give us a sense of the Civilian Conservation Corps in Michigan. What are we seeing, and how active was this the CCC in Michigan during the Depression?
The CCC was really active in Michigan. They planted trees, they built fire roads, they did all sorts of things to help really with conservation. And here in Muskegon County, they were very, very important at the Muskegon State Park. They built the blockhouse, which was a scenic overlook there, and they also helped do the first Legion of the Winter Sports Complex. So really, really very involved in Michigan history. And there we've got a little miniature copy of the blockhouse, kind of in giant Lincoln logs, so that visitors can take it apart and put it back together and see if they can get it back together. And we also have the tent with some uniforms and some other things in there that the gentleman in the CCC would have had.
Wendy, how much time should visitors allow for doing justice to the Heritage Park?
You know, we found that the average visitors are staying between an hour and a half to 2 hours. An hour and a half seems to be just about the right amount of time. And there's plenty of benches along the trail so that if people need to take a break while they're walking or if they just want to enjoy the great outdoors, they can very easily do that. And there's picnic areas in two different spots on the property for picnic lunches, too.
What do you most hope that your visitors get out of coming to see Michigan's Heritage Park?
Well, we really just want them to come and see just the vast scope of Michigan's history and to walk away with maybe some new facts that they didn't know before they came through our doors.
The Heritage Park is in Whitehall in Muskegon County, open Thursday through Monday, and you can get directions and learn more by going to lakeshoremuseum.org. Wendy Van Workum is project director at the newly opened Heritage Park. Wendy, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much.